And now I'd like to welcome our speaker, Rick Beauvert.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. And if you were here for the first time, then welcome, welcome. And please do not let me scare you away. Come back if this is your first time here, because I tend to do that sometimes. I have to have my little notes here and just a few things about that. I don't like to read anything verbatim off of, you know, part of a service, unless it's a quote or an excerpt from something, then you have to read it like it. But I never want to feel like or sound like I'm reading this out of a book. It has to be me. So the notes that I write aren't verbatim. They're just kind of guideline to help me stay on track. Otherwise, I'll go off on a tangent, and I'll be talking about penguins for 10 minutes while I'm supposed to be talking about this. They also help me not to forget things. Few times I have done an entire service and sat down and, oh, I forgot to tell them about the sandwiches, you know. So the notes are for that reason. Now, about 3 weeks ago, I started figuring out what I was going to speak about on this day. And I started writing some notes down, and then I thought, well, you know, I got about a half a page of notes. I'll come back to this. I got plenty of time. About a week later, I came back to it. Couldn't read any of it. I said, why are there hieroglyphs that I had had surgery on my right hand, so I was using my left hand to write, and it looked like I wrote it with my left foot, but I persevered, and here I am. So, you know, we get these little things that come along and are little bumps in our lives, and that's kind of one of the things that I want to talk about is the bumps in our lives. We have bumps, we have hills. We have mountains. We have mostly bumps. We all have some big stuff too, but mostly bumps. We may have to step over them or climb over them or crawl over them, but the idea is to get to the other side of those things that are in our way. It might seem to a lot of us that we get more negative stuff in our life than positive. And it's pretty common that people think that way, but I don't think that's entirely the case. I think we react differently to negative and positive, and positive just kind of go, okay, that's good, but negative really bothers us and stays with us, and I just think we pay more attention to it. Bad news sells. The good news is boring. That's why when you turn on the TV and you listen to Fox News or CNN or whatever group of liars is doing the news, you're going to hear more about terrorist activities than you are about, you know, baby ducks crossing the road or something like that. As spiritualists, we understand the ability to tap into infinite intelligence and to change or eliminate the negative. We can also increase or create the positive. That is through something that is a gift of spirit known as free will. We have the ability to do these things. We are not predestined, because this would be kind of a waste of time in this whole life if we're going to end up in the same place anyway, no matter what we do. We have to build our house and live in it after. So we have to decide by free will what kind of house we're going to build. Big one, small one, blue one, whatever it is. So some of the things that bother us in our lives, some of the bumps, big and small, negative or positive. The first one, of course, is money. Money is a thorn in our side. Usually the lack of money. It could be something very small and minor, like, wow, I don't have enough money. I really wanted fries with that burger. So that's something kind of small, but it could also be something kind of big, like an illness. I have cancer or a bad heart or something like that. Sometimes with these things, we have no control, or we don't think we have any control. That's when this free will kicks in again. And spirit and our connection to spirit can help us to manifest what we need. Now, the next thing that we deal with in our lives is our health, or the health of others, because we sometimes have to take care of others who are having health problems. Again, they can be small ones. You could have a cold. You could have a case of athlete's foot or something like that, or you could have something really bad. I just want to backtrack just a little bit on the money thing. There are good things about money, but you can't have too much. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that. But I remember back in the 70s, a friend of my dad's, he was a nice guy, had a small business, a family, and he won $1 million in a lottery. Within about 8 or 9 months, he was sentenced to 4 years in prison for tax evasion. He didn't know what to do with that money because he had too much. So we can't have too much of a good thing. It's possible. I remember a story of an elderly man who was working as a janitor, and he won millions of dollars in the lottery. And he said, it's not going to change anything. I'm still going to go to work. And I'm thinking, you got to give it back then. Give it to somebody who's going to be helped by it if it's not going to change. You could push him up all you want. I'm going to be on the beach somewhere if you give it to me. So the other thing to do when you have more money than you need or than you know what to do with is help other people. I have a friend in Florida who is very, very wealthy. He has 2 helicopters, but he spends most of his time and his money helping other people. He has a foundation in his late wife's name that is a school for girls in the Philippines, where girls are not allowed to go to public school and can't afford to go to private school. So this is free. And I said, well, have you been there? He said, no, they don't allow men on the campus at all. Okay, good thing. But he does all that. That's all he does is helps people, homeless people and stuff like that. So that's a little bit more thing that I missed a little bit. It seems like the sandwiches thing, I missed it a little bit. So getting back to health. Sometimes with the health, we don't have any control over. But if we take care of ourselves and do the best we can, you get back what you receive. Not always. Sometimes it seems like people have more of a burden than others. And I've always thought that, this is my philosophy, people have to deal with horrible things so that the rest of us don't. They're stronger than we are. So the guy who's hearing voices and yelling at trees down in the park is a hero, not a weirdo. He's taking it for us. He's taking the hit for those of us who can't handle it. If you look at it that way, the world changes just a little bit. Now, the next thing that we deal with is relationships. This is a big one, too. You could have a little spat with someone. You could have something a little bit more profound, like a failed marriage, or something as big as a war. Again, a war may not be something we can control, but it could be something that we can pray for to control. We can control maybe the spat and the marriage to some degree. And remember that relationships are with children, friends, parents, etc. I have a wonderful relationship with my father-in-law. And he's been through some things in the last few weeks, and I've had to be the one to step in because everybody is either living in another state or working. He is 87 years old, and he has had colon cancer in the past. He's diabetic. He's had a stroke many years ago. And he walks 4 miles a day, every day, with his little dog. Now, his little dog is 17 and blind and deaf, so he's the seeing eye person for the dog. And he was walking a few weeks ago, and a big dog approached and attacked his little dog. So in the scuffle, he got knocked down and got banged up a little bit. We took him to the hospital. I stayed with him for about 4 hours in the hospital. He was in a lot of pain. His blood pressure was extremely high, but nothing was broken. So they sent him home. No matter what we did, his blood pressure wouldn't come down. And then he called me on the phone and he said, I have numbness in my arm and leg and a little in my face. So I called 911 and I met him at the hospital, and he had had two strokes that day. That was just a few weeks ago. Yesterday he walked 4 miles with his dog. I don't know why. I don't know how. He wasn't too good at first. He said, oh, I guess I'm a cripple now. I'm not going to be able to. The only thing he did do was he gave up driving because he said, I don't know if I'm going to have another stroke. I don't want to have a stroke at the wheel and hurt somebody. So that's relationships. We worry about them. They run our lives in some cases, and we have to be careful with them. Now, another thing we deal with is fear. That's our worst enemy. It's a very negative thing. A lot of it is fear of failure. You're afraid if you do something, it's just not going to work. And it's amazing. I worked in psychiatric medicine. It's amazing how many people have fear of success. I worked with a group of homeless people. And you know, if you put homeless people into nice little houses or apartments, you know what happens? They move out onto the street again because there's no pressure, there's no responsibility, there's no structure. And that's the way that they can handle life. They've learned to do that. So fear, be careful with fear. Another thing that bothers us is death. And that's extremely complicated, especially for spiritualists, because we look at it a little bit differently. We don't look at it as actual death, but a change. So because it's so complicated, I'm going to skip it. It's for another service. And the other one is time, which is the same thing. It's very, very... It's different for everyone. An hour feels like 2 hours to someone and feels like 15 minutes to someone else. So time is a really tough thing and to figure it out and everything. So what I want to do is I want to talk about this friend of mine. He is now a friend of mine. I got a text in July from a man named Michael. He was not a friend of mine. He was an acquaintance. A few years back, I worked as part of paranormal research teams. Most of them were just people whose Star Trek uniforms were at the dry cleaners, and they wanted to be paranormal investigators instead. But I found a team that was really, really good. And this guy, Michael, young guy in his 20s, he and his brother kind of ran the group. Their sister did a lot of the research and stuff. I only met her a couple of times. She never really went on the investigations with us. She just went over evidence and stuff like that. But they were very nice. And what happened was they had moved there from another state. And their parents both passed away in the last few years. And so they all decided to move back to the other state. And when they did, the paranormal research group just kind of broke up. You know. So I got this text. And it said, I've been watching your stuff online and listening to your stuff here. He listens to all the services here. And he says, I'm coming into town. I'm only going to be there a couple of days. I'd like to buy you lunch and pick your brain a little bit. I said, well, my brain is pretty much picked clean, but, if you want to do that. So I waited in this restaurant for him, and he walked in. And it was weird because this was August now. And he had on a wool hat that was like a toque, like he'd wear in the wintertime. And he looked a little thin and pale. And I thought, well, maybe he hasn't been feeling well or something. And he sat down and took off his hat. And he had very little hair. And he had always had a thick head of hair. And there's only a few reasons why someone would suddenly have no hair. Either they had a breakdown of some kind and shaved their head for no reason, or they joined some sort of a cult or a supremacist organization or something. There is an immune disorder where your hair falls out, alopecia. And then, of course, the one it turned out to be was cancer and the treatments for it, the chemotherapy. He was told at first that he had a very slim chance of survival. 15%, which he considered very slim, and that is very slim. He went through the chemotherapy however many times you have to go through it or what, and he finished it up, and all along they were checking to see how he was doing. biologically, and not the best, but better than nothing. But after the chemotherapy was through, he went for another test, and he was officially declared cancer-free, which was a really good thing. Turns out he's a really nice guy. I didn't really know him that well, and now I do. But he wrote something for me, and he sent it to me online. He asked that I not use his last name. It's not Smith or anything anyway, so Michael may or may not be his first. No, I checked to make sure there was other Michaels out there so nobody would get confused. So he wrote this, and he would like you all to hear it and to tell it to others. And it's called Do Not Sweat the Little Stuff, just like I talked about. If we spend all of our time and energy worrying about mundane, often uncontrollable things, we become bitter and anxious. Spending time running around and panicking over stupid little things will deplete our ability to react and respond when something more profound and attention-worthy may come along. If we scream at the little things, what will we do at the big things? Let's not find out. When big problems arise, and hopefully there will be few, look to Spirit for guidance, inspiration, and most of all, healing. And soon you'll have enough positivity to know that when healing is offered, no matter the source, accept it, be grateful and thankful, and please pass it on. Michael continues to recover, and just a few days ago, actually, he sent me a photograph. It wasn't taken recently. It was taken probably a month or two ago, and he's in the photograph, and you can see that he's tearing up a little bit and very emotional because for the first time, he was able to comb his hair, and I will always have that photo. It's just a wonderful thing. Thank you very much for listening.